1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A sell-off that started last week continues on Wall Street. The Dow dropped more than 1,100 points in early trading, but Bankrate senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick is urging investors to remain calm.
The major averages are off between 2 and 3%. That is fairly orderly. It's abnormal in the sense that we don't see it on a daily basis, but given the high levels that we've seen, it shouldn't really come as a big surprise.
The Dow is now down 892 points. What was Hurricane Debbie is moving into Georgia and the Carolinas. It's now a tropical storm, but it's expected to bring strong wind and torrential rain to the region. Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to announce her running mate sometime tomorrow. She is in what is now believed to be the last day of deliberations. The vice president and President Biden are huddled with Middle East advisors today. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The lawyer for Devante Mitchell's family says an autopsy shows he died at the hands of four hotel employees in downtown Milwaukee June 30th. Police recommend felony murder charges, but prosecutors have said they needed the autopsy results first. The fate of billions of dollars from Washington to Wisconsin are at stake as voters decide whether to amend the state constitution on the 13th. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
It touches every aspect of our lives, from our roads to our social services to education. And this would have far-reaching and far-lasting effects.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront. A no vote would keep the power over spending federal money in Wisconsin with the governor. A yes vote would give that power to the legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We're just over a week away from the partisan primary. Madison officials did a public test of election equipment over the weekend. They basically run a faux election, making sure their tabulators work properly. It's an all-day process because for every receipt printed, they double-check the numbers and ensure all the math is correct. The community is always welcome at these tests. The goal is transparency. Clerks want to show people how it all works. And the city of Madison has a new piece of election equipment that will help ensure everyone's vote is counted. Your absentee ballot envelope serves as your absentee ballot application, and sometimes people forget to do things like sign that envelope. So this new absentee ballot envelope sorter checks that all the fields are filled, including where you need to sign. Staff will run all ballots through this machine as they're received. That way, if you forgot something, they can get it back to you before the election if you need to fix it. They'll start using this machine for the November election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
All systems go in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers put on a show over the weekend on family night. Jordan Love signing autographs for fans and doing interviews.
Training camp's been good so far. Great practice going against a great defense every day. A lot of great competition, but that receiver room, tight end room, all those playmakers, man, they're looking great. I'm very excited about what we got building and just a lot of those guys, you know, taking that next step and building on what we did last year, so I'm very excited.
The biggest question is still at kicker. Anders Carlson went 8-for-9 after going 3-for-6 earlier in the week. Greg Joseph, 7-for-9 family night. The Packers have signed another kicker, Jonathan Garibay, who's kicked for the Dallas Cowboys and in the UFL. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3. Milwaukee has now lost 3 straight series. Today they travel to Atlanta, where they'll play the Braves tomorrow night.
I love this team, guys, and I'm not going to start criticizing them for making youthful mistakes or for hitting balls hard and not having it be timely hitting.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A dark day today with scattered showers this afternoon and rain ramping up this evening with some embedded thunderstorms as well. We could see some turn severe alongside the potential for some flash flooding, which is why a flood watch has been issued through tomorrow morning. 1 to 2 inches of rain is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic, reliable, just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the hilarious and deadpan comedy stylings of Tom Ryan. And Green Bay band Ask Your Mothers, Eric and Adam, will join me to perform in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our producer and engineer. It is Monday, August 5th, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in. 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Hour number two of the big program. High atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. An overcast day here in Madison. Be weather alert.
It looks like rain.
Yes, it could be severe weather in parts of Wisconsin. Perhaps high winds, hail, heavy amounts of rain. So depending upon where you're at in the state, just be aware of that. Within the next 24 hours, after we get by tomorrow night, looks like the rest of the week for most of the state, pretty darn good. Last reports, I shouldn't say last, but a report now. This is fascinating. According to, this is Roop Raj, host of The Nightly Show out of Detroit. According to Fox News, or Fox News 6, like a local Detroit Fox, not the Fox News Network, but the local Fox affiliate in Detroit. They're claiming that a source close to Kamala Harris tells them she has made her decision and the vice presidential candidate has accepted the position of running mate. Stay close as we learn who it is.
Wow.
Now, wouldn't it be something if, I mean, Detroit, maybe Gretchen Whitmer was playing it coy. Maybe it's a surprise Gretchen Whitmer ticket. Or guess who's from Michigan? Chasten Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg's husband, who they technically live in Michigan.
There's a lot at play here.
The speculation game, and I love every minute of it, you understand. Talking a little bit last hour about the strange and the weird, Derek Van Orten, congressman from the 3rd Congressional District, and this great reporting by WISN Channel 12 out of Milwaukee, the reporters went to Texas. Why? Because they couldn't get the body cam footage from anybody in Milwaukee. They figured out that the deputies that were around this alleged incident between Derek Van Orten and a young female protester, the deputies were from Texas who had their body cams on, and they went to Texas and they got Texas cops, sheriff's deputies, to release it. And we played it for you last hour. Zommers will attach the WISN story to the website, the podcast. You can watch for yourself. Clearly, it appears Derek Van Orten was never touched, at the most, maybe brushed by a hand. I don't know. But then he says he has bad hips and that he was hip checked. Clearly that never happened. And says he was assaulted. Again, never happened. And this young woman spent 15 hours in jail for something she never did. They released her. No charges. Going to also talk about another strange person this hour, Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., who still, believe it or not, is technically running for president. a weird story that he confessed to yesterday. We'll have it in his own words. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark from Peridasac. Mark, thanks for holding through the break. What do you got?
Yeah, not a problem. And I actually went home and watched the video, and I go, for God's sake, she's at least a head shorter than that man.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like to me that she touched him at all. And wasn't he the one cutting in line? I mean, she's actually in line with the group. And they're moving ahead, and I think he was there with his group going to try to get into line. And right. One of his aides or something was saying that they wanted to assault those people, made a comment about beating up the people that were there.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know who that guy was with him, whether it was an aide or just, I don't know.
I'm guessing
I don't,
he was dressed pretty casually, but you never know.
I don't want to assume who it was, but clearly someone who was with Van Orden made that comment, and he just kind of like shook his head.
Yeah, it is just, you know, that. This young woman spent 15 hours cooling her heels, and that it is just pretty sad. I mean, and the fact that the Milwaukee Police Department does not want to release that video is rather telling as well. That it probably showed that they should have actually looked at that before they actually make this young woman spend that 15 hours in jail. I mean, it is remarkable because I know what it is to, you know, to bump into somebody or something like that. As a matter of fact, when I was singing in the Capitol, back in what I can't even remember the year now, but it was later on into the scene. Just a few people there, but I was singing in the Capitol, and I thought I had bumped into somebody, but apparently a guy had come up behind me, dropped his shoulder and banged into my shoulder, walked across the Capitol there and tried to shove the woman in front of me that was, you know, opposite me in the Capitol. And I actually filed, you know, and I wouldn't have done anything, but they, you know, right. Other people had run the guy down and got the Capitol Police to bring the guy in. And I filed a police report, but curiously enough, I could not get a copy of that police report after the fact.
Strange.
They wanted me to file a Freedom of Information request to get a copy of that of my own police report. And I wonder to this day if that was something that Scott Walker kind of arranged casually to say, let's try to stir something up here, or this guy took it upon himself to do it. Right. And that, you know, I could not get it. I'd never heard a case of this guy was filed disorderly conduct against this guy. They tried to say, well, that guy was just drunk, you know, but I just remember if that was just a story that they planted to try to, you know, to try to break up the protest and try to say, because there's just a handful of, there might have been 8 or 9 people there that day. And
well, Mark, I just want to get to the other people on the line, Mark, but what you bring is a good point. When these things happen, this is why I'm so pro body cam. I think that our legislature should pass funding for all law enforcement officials to wear body cams because the cameras don't lie. If you can see it with your own eyes. And clearly this incident with Derek Van Orten in Milwaukee last month at the Republican National Convention, he was not assaulted. You can watch it yourself. WISN Channel 12, Zomers is linking it to our podcast. 855-752-4842. Troy in Mount Horeb listening on WMDX here out of Madison. Troy, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hello. So has Brian Stiles' office explained why we haven't seen that video?
The video of Van Orten verbally assaulting teenage pages in the Capitol? Not that I'm aware of. No, he has not explained why. I know that Congressman Mark Pocan out of Madison has lobbied, has asked for that to be released. But my understanding is Stiles chairs the subcommittee, which makes the final decision, and they will not release that.
So if I did a FOIA request, would I send it to his office or is there somebody else?
You'll start with his office. I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that media has asked for this as well and why they have not released it.
I would assume so too.
Why has it not been released? Yeah. It may be working its way through the court system, but as one of my former bosses was fond of saying, the best indicator of someone's future performance is past performance. And if you look at what we see on this video, body cam footage from law enforcement, it clearly shows that Derek Van Orten was not physically assaulted by this young woman. And there was no basis for charges. And she spent 15 hours in jail for nothing until the DA reviewed it and good on the DA, dropped all charges, let her go. And then he has the audacity to say, well, I got bad hips. You know, she hip checked me. She made it worse. I'm very careful, knowing that I have this microphone, the privilege of that. I'm trying to be very careful with my words. I would not call someone a liar if I didn't have video proof of it. And the video clearly shows he was not hip checked. This is just flat out BS. So appreciate the call, Troy. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Sue, listening in on WAUK out of Waukesha, listening in beautiful Franklin, says, quote, "I hope that lady sues him, Derek Van Horten."
That's very likely.
Yeah. I mean, why not? One call does it all, right? That's what they say on TV. One call, that's all. I'd make a call. I'd hold Derek Van Horten accountable. But here's the thing. This is a guy who pawns himself off as a coddly old grandpa, former Navy SEAL, a do-gooder, lover of the American flag, buyer of Quick Trip coffee, which I believe he buys his coffee at Sitco. But he's not what he tries to pawn off, you guys. He's just not. So anyway, we'll continue to follow the story, because again, it's important, because it shows a pattern. Finally, we have video proof of this guy, Derek Van Horten, that he lies. There's no other way to put it. The guy lies. You can say, well, everybody lies. Why would you lie about something like that and put someone into jail? Linda, watching on Facebook, says he needs to be out of Congress. I bet he's kicked a few dogs, too, unquote. I'm not sure. I don't want to say something's not true. But again, there's a pattern here. Derek Van Horten is never denied dropping F-bombs and S-bombs on teenagers at the Capitol. He's never denied verbally abusing a teenage female librarian in Prairie du Chien. He's never denied trying to sneak on a weapon on an aircraft in Iowa. But he makes excuses for it all. And now we see this excuse was flat out a lie, because we have video camera footage of it. So whatever the Democrats decide in their primary next week, remember to go to vote on the polls next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow.
And vote no on both of the referendums.
Yes, we'll be talking about those later in the week, hopefully as well. But yeah, whoever the Democrats put on there, I think it's really going to come down to, and this is why Kamala Harris is so smart to be in Eau Claire on Wednesday, campaigning in Western Wisconsin with her yet-to-be-named vice president. It's why Tammy Baldwin does such a great job going all over the state, particularly the western part of the state, going to pancake breakfast, dairy breakfast, county fairs. She's doing great. And I think it's going to come down to however Harris and Baldwin do in Western Wisconsin. My guess is that's how the congressional race will go as well. Yes, there will be those voters that I just don't quite get, the crossover voters that might vote for Van Horn and Baldwin. I don't know. It'll happen, but I still believe that if Harris wins the third and if Baldwin wins the third congressional district, I think Derek Van Horten will lose that race. But time will tell, as they say. Other exciting races in the 8th congressional district in Green Bay, the Fox Valley. Dr. Lyerly, Kristen Lyerly, great candidate, great chance of flipping the 8th congressional district to the blue column. Come back, talk about the other strange one, Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy, in his own words. It's the All Ball Show for a Monday on Civic Media.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 before past the hour, I should say, of 1 o'clock on this Monday, August 5th, 2024. Mr. Zalmer is on the board, taking your phone calls in his usual pleasant and welcoming demeanor. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
Can I play another quick little song, just the beginning?
Oh, what do you got? What do you got for us?
All the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Now, that's a great song for a happy story. I feel bad for the bear in this story.
I do too.
It's terrible. I've seen pictures now. What he's talking about.
Well, I've not seen pictures.
Really? It's terrible. He posted it like as a joke. If you don't know what we're talking about, it made news over the weekend, last night into today. Lots of reporting on this. This one from CBS. The decade-old question about how a dead six-month-old female black bear cub ended up in New York City's iconic Central Park beneath an old bicycle has been answered. Turns out independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday confessed that he was behind the incident after a fact checker from the New Yorker magazine called him to verify the story. In a video post, which we're going to play on X, the old Twitter, as I like to call it, Twix, great Craig Ferguson moniker, Twix, Kennedy said that he came across the bear in the morning when he was going falconing. I guess as one does. Oh, let's go falconing this morning, shall we? A woman in a van in front of him hit and killed the bear. By the way, if you don't know what falconing is, I mean, it's a very, you know, hoity-toity, quote-unquote, sport. You have to own a live falcon, a bird that wears, like, the hood and a big glove, and then, you know, you go out and you release them to find a rabbit or something. It's a sport for the rich, all right?
Right, because it's expensive and you need to spend a lot of time training it.
Yes. So, Robert Kennedy is out falconing 10 years. It's only 10 years ago. This isn't part of his quote-unquote rebel youth. He was 60 years old. Out falconing. Allegedly, he says a woman in a van in front of him killed the bear. He says he pulled over and picked up the bear and put it in the back of a van because he was going to skin the bear. And it was in, quote, very good condition. And I was going to put the meat in my refrigerator. He says you could do that in New York State. You can get a bear tag and for roadkill bear. But the falconing went longer than expected. He has to go to dinner at a steakhouse. I'm not sure we're going to play the whole 4 minutes of this, Zalmers, but we're going to start. So what happens is the New Yorker finds out about this, and they call him and say, look, we're going to go to press with this tomorrow, which is today. And so he goes on Roseanne Barr's weird podcast and confesses this. Here's part of this from the Roseanne Barr podcast. This is real. Robert Kennedy, in his own words, here we go.
I was taking a group of people falconing in, up in Goshen, New York, up in Hudson Valley. and I was supposed to meet them there at like maybe 8 or 9. I was driving up maybe, you know, really early, like 7. And that woman in a van in front of me hit a bear and killed it, a young bear. So I pulled over and I picked up the bear and put him in the back of my van because I was going to skin the bear, and it was very good condition, and I was going to and put the meat in my refrigerator. And you can do that in New York City. You can get a bear tag for a roadkill bear. And so then we went hawking, and I had the bear in my car. And then we had a really good day, and we went late. We were catching a lot of game, and the people really loved it, so we stayed late. And instead of going back to my home in Westchester, I had to go right to the city because there was a dinner at Peter Luger's Steakhouse.
And stop right there for a second. Stop right there for a second, please. Who just drives around all day with a dead bear in your trunk? It's, well, whatever. And, you know, then I got busy. I had to go to the city to have a late night dinner. And of course, I realized there was a dead bear in my trunk. I mean, this is bizarre, but go ahead.
And at the end of the dinner, it went late. And I realized I couldn't go home. I had to go to the airport. And the bear was in my car, and I didn't want to leave the bear in the car. Because that would have been bad.
You think?
So then I thought, you know, at that time, this was the little bit of the redneck in me. There'd been a series of bicycle accidents in New York. They had just put in the bike lanes and saw people, a couple of people that got killed, and it was every day, and people had gotten badly injured. Every day it was in the press. Yeah. And so I thought, I wasn't drinking, of course, but people were drinking with me who thought this was a good idea. And I said, I had an old bike in my car that somebody had asked me to get rid of it. I said, let's go put the bear in Central Park and we'll make it look like he got hit by a bike.
There we go. He also, in addition to a dead bear, he happened to have an old bicycle in his car.
And he, of course, wasn't drinking.
No, he says he wasn't drinking. So they go to Central Park and they put this poor dead 6-month-old bear cub that's rancid from rotting in a car all day in Central Park and make it look like it had been caused a bike accident. And I'm not going to play the rest of it's just goofy. I mean, it gets goofier. He talks about he wakes up the next morning and there's like cop cars all over and helicopters and yellow tape in Central Park because there's this weird death injury to a bear. And he's laughing about it. This is a guy who has confessed to having a worm in his brain. There are photos of him apparently eating a dog and now drives around with a dead bear cub in his car all day after going falconing. And then it's his idea to stage it in Central Park with an old bike to make it look like a bike accident. I played that for all you folks who say, well, I really don't like our choices, and I think that Robert Kennedy is a good alternative. You might want to think again. Look up the definition of crackpot, and you'll find Robert Kennedy Jr. The guy is a nut job, a flake, a weirdo. He has no business being elected dog catcher. I mean, if he were dog catcher, he might eat it. I mean, this guy is bizarro. And it's a good indicator of where we are at today in politics. That you have human beings that want to follow this guy. That say, well, I think he's a good alternative. Here's a good alternative. Saving democracy. A woman who is a prosecutor and attorney general who put sex offenders behind bars. Someone who is a United States senator who served on the Judiciary Committee. Someone who has served as vice president of the United States and is prepared to lead the United States of America into the future. Her name is Kamala Harris, by the way, and she's going to make her vice presidential pick. Some reports say she's made it already. Waiting to find out who. Back after this, it's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The lawyer for Devante Mitchell's family says an autopsy shows he died at the hands of four hotel employees in downtown Milwaukee June 30th. Mitchell was held down by four Hyatt employees after an incident at the hotel. Police recommend felony murder charges, but prosecutors said they were waiting for autopsy results before making a decision. Violent crime trends are going down in Milwaukee. The same is true nationwide. Advocates say the trends are encouraging, but the data is limited.
Homicide is influenced by a lot of local factors. In fact, we know that most violence can be isolated to specific neighborhoods within a city, so that it's essential for leaders to take time to analyze and fully understand local crime patterns.
Ernesto Lopez is with the Council on Criminal Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. An Atwood bakery is closing. After 15 years in business, the owners of Daisy Cafe and Cupcakery will shut the doors for good. They told the Wisconsin State Journal they've weathered lots of storms, including the pandemic, but this year sales dropped sharply. Plus, rent has gone up. Inflation has made food costs soar, and while they're proud to pay their staff a living wage, that can be expensive. They'll be serving their beloved biscuits and gravy every day until they close. Their last day in business is August 26th. And today, the student moving season begins in downtown Madison. Expect to see lots more trash and, if you're of a certain inclination, treasure at the curb. The Streets Division will work to pick up trash and recycling daily this week and next week. There are extra carts for students on the move. After street staff finish their normal work for the day, they'll drive throughout downtown and empty the carts. You may start to see some furniture on curbs, but official hippie Christmas is next week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. People worldwide are watching more colored television than ever. Netflix, for the first time ever, reported that all 10 of their top shows pulled in over 1 billion minutes viewed. Variety reports that during the week of July 1st, streaming platforms recorded over 313 billion viewing minutes over various platforms. That is the most streaming consumption ever for a single week. The Nielsen Company started its top 10 list in 2020. Fans of Britney Spears have a new biopic to look forward to. People magazine reports the film will be based on her 2023 memoir called The Woman in Me. You remember that book that came out where Spears looks surprised that she's topless on the cover? That's sneaky faux tug. The film will be produced by Mark Platt, who also produced La La Land. Variety reported that Universal won the rights to the film project and has access to Spears' entire music catalog. Hopefully, they won't use it in the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A dark day today with scattered showers this afternoon and rain ramping up this evening with some embedded thunderstorms as well. We could see some turn severe alongside the potential for some flash flooding, which is why a flood watch has been issued through tomorrow morning. 1 to 2 inches of rain is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll be talking to the Dane County Humane Society.
And we'll be giving away a couple of tickets for the Wisconsin Dells.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, August 5th. Welcome back in as we are on Vice Presidential Candidate Watch on the Democratic side. Reports are now that Vice President Harris has made her selection and that said selection has accepted. Those are unconfirmed reports. Want to emphasize that. But the official report is out of the Harris camp that they will make their decision sometime today and announce it via a video en la mañana. That's in the morning for all you non-Spanish speakers. Looking forward to it. One of those said to be in the final two, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. Now, I didn't know a lot about this guy until a couple of weeks ago.
Me either.
But the more I hear, at first I'm like, and remember Luke Mathers, who will join us tomorrow on Tuesday Tangents with Luke, last week he said it was, he called it, he said he thought it would be Walz. I said that if I, you know, just who I thought was the best person out there would be Buttigieg, which I think he's still a dark horse candidate for. Some of these reports, by the way, out of Fox 6 out of Detroit in Michigan. And Matt on Facebook brings up a good point. We talked about this a little bit earlier here. Matt saying, Chasten Buttigieg, Pete's husband, is from Michigan, the likely spot of the VP announcement. I'm amped for generational change, says Matt. Great guy, Matt, by the way. Knows what he's talking about. I still maintain Buttigieg is the dark horse candidate. I think it could happen. But if I'm strictly going by who is best vetted, kind of the safest pick in a lot of ways, I'd say it was Kelly out of Arizona, Senator Mark Kelly. If she really feels she has to have Pennsylvania for Electoral College, then Josh Shapiro. But Tim Walz from Minnesota has been gaining a lot of momentum. A lot of the Democratic Party leaders, reportedly, including Speaker Emerita of the House, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, says that's her choice, Tim Walz. And he's kind of a cool dude. He's an everyday guy. Here is a cut, if we're ready, Mr. Zommers, of Tim Walz, current governor, Democrat of our neighbors in Minnesota. He was asked by a local reporter on a talk show to kind of name off certain things. Here's a great question and the kind of real guy response from Tim Walz of Minnesota.
All right. Number two, it seems like elected officials are always surrounded by lots of people, staff, other lawmakers. What is the last thing that you did truly out in the public, truly by yourself?
I went to Menards and bought an air filter for my furnace.
Just the way he says it, so matter of fact, he thinks about it, looks it down for a second, purses his lips, and is like, I went to Menards, bought an air filter for my furnace.
I mean, who among us haven't done that at some point in our lives?
And I guarantee you, J.D. Vance doesn't know what that is.
I mean,
maybe from when he was younger, but.
Right. I think that Walz is the kind of person who is a real person. He's a real guy. He does real stuff, and I think he could relate to a lot of people, particularly in the Midwest.
And a lot of people say vote for the person you want as your neighbor.
Yeah.
I'd want him as my neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I don't think any of the choices that Harris is looking
at
are bad. I think they all bring something to the table, and I'll be excited for any one of them. But I think we're going to get, if it's Walz, we're going to get a lot of stuff like that, which will be fantastic for our kind of show where we could just have fun with it.
And I think it sells, like you said, the tweet here that shares it says it's a complete slam dunk identity politics choice for VP.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that. It sells well in a lot of America, especially more rural places.
Right. So we'll see. Still awaiting word of who. And this is going to be interesting now. If the reports are true that she has made her selection and that they're going to release it via video, that means that more people know who it is. So how long can they keep the lid on this? Because somebody has, I mean, you know, Mr. Zommers, better than anybody else. You got to have an engineer, a producer who's going to put this together, at least one, if not two people, they're going to make a video and then disseminate it and have it all ready to go. I mean, do those people, have they had their cell phones taken away? Are they put under lock and key?
I'm sure there's more than two. There's probably at least one camera operator. There's probably somebody to do lights. There's probably someone to do audio. There's probably an editor or two.
Which one can remain secret longer? The final of Newhart with Susan Plachette or Vice President Harris's pick for VP?
It's a good question.
Of course, we're talking about the ending of Newhart on CBS, which they, a brilliant ending to that series, where they filmed with his former co-star on the Bob Newhart show, Susan Plachette, and they brought the old bedroom and they wake up and the whole show on CBS was allegedly a dream. One of the great endings to a great sitcom on television. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Always glad to have you along if you want to call and tune in. Want to get to a little bit of the Trumpster over the weekend. The devil went down to Georgia. Well, at least Trump did. Well, dial up a little bit of that on the way up, Mr. Zomer. The devil went down to Georgia. So Trump goes down to Georgia to the same arena where Kamala Harris had been just days before, and she packed the thing. She sold it out. And Trump went there, and by all video accounts, he was not able to fill it up. And then he spent a lot of time on the stage talking about making up excuses, saying that people were not allowed to come in, which of course just wasn't true. He didn't have the same drawing power with J.D. Vance that Harris did by herself. He did something very odd in politics. Attack a popular governor from your own party in a state that you almost have to win. This is weird. And it shows how petty and off his rocker Trump is. Here's the cut. Donald Trump attacking the incumbent Georgia Governor Brian Kemp on the podium in Georgia, in Atlanta this weekend.
But Kemp doesn't want to end it because he's a bad guy, he's a disloyal guy, and he's a very average governor. Little Brian Kemp, bad guy. But think of it. I got this guy, just think, and then that's it. I got this guy nominated. I then got him elected. Without me, he doesn't get nominated and he doesn't get elected. He had no chance of winning either one. And all he had to do is sign something where the Senate would like to look at election integrity. This is an honest man. That's an honest man. They were all honest. They were looking at something very legitimate. And this bad guy said, "I'm sorry, sir. I can't do it." I called him and I said, "Brian, they're looking at election integrity. Is there anything you can do?" "I'm sorry, sir. I can't get involved in that." I said, "But Brian, you don't understand. This is a good thing, not a bad thing." "I'm sorry, sir. I can't get involved." "I've had you up to here, Brian. I've had you up to here." He's a bad guy and he's not doing this country a good service. People are looking.
That was Donald Trump over the weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, attacking and dissing current Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. And Trump was referring back to the 2020 election when he called Kemp and Secretary of State Ratzenberger and asked them to find him 12,000 votes. And Kemp had the temerity to say, "No, we're not going to make up election results." Brian Kemp is a very popular Republican governor of Georgia. I wouldn't think if you're trying to win the state of Georgia, you would go into said state and attack the popular incumbent governor. Things are not going well for Trump down in Georgia. Mr. Zomers, I just sent you that clip. Let me know when it's ready. This is a former lieutenant governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan, who is at the rally. This Republican, this was the Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan under Brian Kemp. He was at the rally for Kamala Harris before. Here's what the former Republican Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan has to say.
Jeff, I want to bring you in to get your perspective as someone who has been a Republican. You spoke out against Trump's election lies when you were Georgia's lieutenant governor back in 2020. You just endorsed Harris. Tell us why and why you think it's so important to be there tonight.
Well, look, there's even the Democrats' biggest opponents can't deny that this has been almost a flawless transition from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris, with the money being raised, the energy. I've been hanging around the hoop in Georgia politics for well over a decade. I've never seen anything like this with this much energy behind him. I'm standing here as a Republican, but more importantly, as an American, somebody who cares more about the future of this country than I do the future of Donald Trump. And quite honestly, I think there's a large batch of us out there that want to see us get back on track. And I just got to imagine the Georgia suburbs, the Atlanta suburbs, are back in play. Events like this and just the energy in the neighborhoods tell me that Georgia is back in play. And I think it's going to be up to Kamala Harris and this rooms like this around the country. If they make her try to win a primary every day of the week, then she's not going to win the 10% in the middle. But if they allow her to have some flexibility and start talking about some tough issues like immigration, inflation, and other issues that plague the Biden administration, I think she's got a shot to win.
Former Republican Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, that was before the Harris rally in Atlanta last week, endorsing Democratic candidate Kamala Harris, a Republican endorsing a Democrat. That's the kind of reach that Kamala Harris has. And that's why she has a real shot. And that's why I think it's so important for all of us to remember this is a coalition. We're building a coalition to defeat Trumpism. This is not about purity testing. This is not about a zero-sum political game. We don't all have to agree on everything on the political agenda right now. We only have to agree on one thing. And that is that Donald Trump and Trumpism is an existential threat to American democracy. And so I welcome and thank Republican Lieutenant Governor, former Governor, Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan, for his endorsement of Kamala Harris. I know Jay and Matt Nair got into a little bit of Elon Musk today. We're not going to go too far into it. But here's a little footnote to this whole thing. Forbes estimates that Elon Musk, now owner of Twitter's wealth at more than $235 billion. Musk is currently one of the major investors in America PAC, Political Action Committee, which is behind a social media ad campaign for Trump and Vance. If you live in a non-swing state, you'll receive an ad directing you to a voter registration website. But if you live in a swing state like Wisconsin, you instead receive a form asking for your address, cell phone number, age, and enough other demographic information to target you with personalized ads on your phone and in your mailbox. What this is to lure us into thinking we're doing voter registration, but you don't get registered. What you get is a lot of spam from Elon Musk and America PAC. So be very careful when you see things on your phone, your tablet, your PC, your laptop. If it's bought and paid for at the bottom by America PAC, it's no good at all. Just delete it. Put it away. That's the kind of shenanigans that MAGA and Trump and Elon Musk are playing. And that's why it's so important that we have to welcome a coalition of Wisconsin and American voters in to defeat Trump. And this is why it's so impressive today that Vice President Harris has launched this Republicans for Harris, of which the former Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan is a member of. Also, Adam Kinzinger, part of the J6 bipartisan committee, Republican of Illinois, endorses Harris. Former Governors Bill Weld of Massachusetts, Christy Todd Whitman of New Jersey, Jim Edgar of Illinois, all announced that they're endorsing Kamala Harris. These are not liberal progressives. These are Republicans saying enough is enough. We have to reject the devil went down to Georgia. It's dangerous. You play a good, pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. Back after this, it's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The John and Gordy Show.
When they speak up, people respond to that, yes. React to that, and they may not react very well to that, and they may even dispute it and may argue and debate with them. And they're making up all this stuff about, you know, being silenced and censored. They want to avoid the consequences of their ideas. Live with the consequences of your thoughts, of your ideas, and grow up.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Found a mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, there's your dog back, no child, no.
Welcome back. Little Charlie Daniels on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of my favorite songs as a kid growing up, Charlie Daniels Band. That fiddle.
Oh, such a good song.
Oh, devil went down to Georgia. Trump went down to Georgia over the weekend, decided it was a good idea to attack his own Republican popular governor in Georgia. Many people who know Georgia politics say Trump may have lost Georgia just this weekend alone. Not real bright. The way these people are flailing, they were not prepared for Harris. They thought Biden would stay in. They didn't think that Democrats had the courage and the temerity to do what Republicans did not, which is go to their nominee and say, you're not the best person. Off the, was it Facebook, Mr. Summers?
Yes.
Mark, watch you on Facebook. Remember, you can stream us. You can watch us on Facebook, on YouTube, and on the Civic Media Twitter site as well. He made up, I'm not going to sing it, but pretty good lyricist here. Mark says alternative lyrics for Devil and Down in Georgia are, quote, Trump made a call in Georgia looking for an election to steal. He'd take the time to force the man, make the demand of votes to find a taped phone call did reveal. That's pretty good. Good lyrics there, Mark. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Stephanie listening on WMDX here in Madison. Stephanie, you want to go back to an earlier story of good old Derek Van Orten from the third. What do you got for us?
Oh, hey. It is a total. And you can't really say it. I know. But I can. It's an obvious total setup. He was looking, you know, just scoping for an opportunity. I kiddingly told Aaron that I said the woman didn't know that she was supposed to be walking 5 feet behind the man. Instead, how dare she cut ahead of him? Oh, how and dare
in,
she?
And in case people are case people are joining us, to reset it up here, we played the report from WISN Channel 12. Mr. Zommers has expertly linked it in the, you can watch it for yourself, and showing body cam footage of law enforcement where Van Orten alleges he was quote unquote assaulted by a young female attendee or opposition protester, and she may have cut in line, but it was certainly no assault. And the video proved that he was lying about being assaulted and said he was hip checked, which clearly the video shows he was not. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Oh, my bad hips. Right? Oh, my gosh. Oh, give me a break. Navy SEAL, we need, I assume that you can't really lie about that. That can be pretty easily checked. But, oh, my God, what a whining little.
Be careful, but thank you. Yes, I get it.
What a whiner. Yeah. Seriously. And the cops, sounds like the cops were trying, trying to support him, like trying to get him to make a complaint. That was a little whiner.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to criticize the actual police work on the ground. I mean, they asked him and said, "Well, do you want to file a complaint?" And they asked him, "Were you injured?" I mean, that's pretty standard protocol to ask those questions. Yeah, exactly. I didn't think they were leading him. I mean, he decided to lie about it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's all I wanted to say. I want to hang up so you can let other folks in and try to deal with what you've got coming up. But hey, hometown boy, I'm glad to talk to you, okay?
Appreciate it, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. To button this story up, we talked about earlier with another caller, open records requests called FOIAs, Freedom of Information requests. And one of our expert listeners who knows these things pretty well says, "I don't think that FOIA works on congressional requests. They're immune, I think." Says maybe immune from that too, federal office? Not sure. But that's a great point that there are some immunities when it comes to members of Congress. So it may be that even if the press asks under a Freedom of Information request to get this footage of Derek Van Orten verbally assaulting teenagers in the Capitol, of which he has not denied this. He does not deny it. He simply makes up an excuse and says, essentially they deserved it because in his opinion, they were desecrating the Capitol by lying on the ground and taking videos of the rotunda, something that happens all the time in the Capitol as someone who worked there.
Or that they were disrespecting the soldiers buried underneath the Capitol, which is not a thing.
Right. There are no soldiers. It was during the Civil War, it was used, the Capitol, parts of it, as a hospital. But there are no burials under the Capitol. So again, Derek Van Orten lied. Seems to be a pattern, this guy, Mr. Summers. I mean, is it just me? I'm not sure. We forgot to mention, coming up, I believe Maggie Dawn is back under the microphone, or behind the microphone, I should say, today. So looking forward to that. She is back with Brian Kelly. So looking forward to Maggie Dawn here coming up from 2 until 4 every afternoon. CBS News or ABC, depending upon your particular radio station, has an update. Weather update, be alert as some of these storms may be heavy at times as they move across Wisconsin. Later on this afternoon, into tonight, the early morning hours of tomorrow, some areas of Wisconsin may see localized heavy rain. I know we say this a lot, but please take heed if you run into a road that you cannot see through the water, turn around, don't drown. Turn around, don't drown. That's a great thing to remember because it only takes a foot or so of water to lift your vehicle and you don't know if the roadway is washed out underneath. And then all our great folks who are first responders, firefighters, EMS, ambulance, they got to come rescue you. And they got enough to worry about in a situation like that. Aside from, goofball drivers that decide they want to be tough guys and drive through water. So just turn around, don't drown.
Don't become a statistic.
Exactly. We don't want people to be safe. So be careful tonight and tomorrow of the weather as well. And we'll be on Vice Presidential Watch here at Civic Media. This is exciting. I like this. Supposedly by the time we take the air tomorrow at noon, we will know who the vice presidential candidate is for the Democratic Party ticket. I know it will not be Robert Kennedy.
I sure hope not.
No, I can guarantee, as we say back in RC, I'll guarantee you it will not be Robert Kennedy. I can guarantee you, though, that Maggie Dawn will be spectacular. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back tomorrow with Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers, also talking about the new vice presidential candidate. Who will it be? Keep it here. We'll let you know at Civic Media as soon as we do. For all of us here at Civic Media, Mr. Zomer is doing yeoman's work, and all of you for listening, thanks for joining us today. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Kamala Pixar Vice President Edition. We'll introduce you to the candidate Devil's Advocates Radio.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.